Vic Carucci with you, with Nathan Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We are at Discount Drug Mart, 5270 Center Road in Brunswick Hills. Got a big, big crowd here lined up for autographs for Buster Skrin, for Bernie Kosar. They're going to get autographs from Jabal Sheard in a little bit. He's showing up here for the final hour. Buster here till the top of the hour. And joining us now, and we are so pleased to have him with us. He has really become such a regular on this show. I think the Browns ought to just put him on the staff because the guy pretty much covers the Browns as closely as we do. He is our great friend and one of the real outstanding analysts in the business, former NFL defensive back himself, working for CBS Sports. He'll be on the call for Sunday's game against the Jaguars at First Energy Stadium, as he was last week for the game against the Steelers. He is Solomon Wilcott. Solomon, thank you so much for coming back with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Vic. Appreciate it.
All right, so need your big picture take. It was the letdown for a lot of us to see a performance like that because it resembled so much what we saw the previous week at Cincinnati, the mistake-filled game that the Browns had in some other ways that they – did some decent things defensively, but not enough overall to get the job done. I mean, the Steelers flat out took that game from top to bottom. But what's your general takeaway about sort of the state of this football team after what you saw from the Browns Sunday, Sally?
It really shows you, I think, that when you have a really good defense, and the Browns do have that, and you have a weapon like a Josh Gordon, and you have a really good tight end, that maybe I just think that the key is that you're a couple of components away, and quarterback is one of those. And I think for everyone who's watched the team over the last couple of weeks or watched them at least all season, you understand that when you get really good quarterback play, you can go in and you can beat a lot of teams. And when the quarterback play is less than stellar, then the defense and everything else has to really come together, and it makes it tough to win games. All that being said, and they haven't had a running game all season long, and so you just like to be able to think, wow, with a quarterback and a running game, then just how good you can be. So there's no doubt. You got to get better in every area, though, in the offseason, because I think defensively, third down and red zone areas, and obviously the ability to come up with takeaways, create turnovers, is still an area where the defense can get better. But more importantly, better quarterback play, protecting the ball, creating big plays. And you've got to be able to run the ball against a team like Pittsburgh or Cincinnati and have balance if you're going to contend for a division title.
Solomon, a lot of talk around here about the team and the performances against Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, and some people, some callers, want to kind of point the blame at the coaching, saying that the coaching staff saying these guys weren't prepared to play. That's why they struggled and lost these two games. As somebody who got to see them and has the experience of being a former player like yourself, do you think it is a matter of the fact that they were ill-prepared in this game, or just a matter of the fact that on a big stage, this young team failed to execute and do the things necessary, i.e. take care of the football, to win a game like this?
Well, let's talk about it. You've got two games where you had four giveaways by the offense. Just gave the ball up and put the defense in a tough situation. I find it hard to say that the coaches didn't have a team prepared when you jump out to a 13-0 lead on the road at Cincinnati. How can you say, well, we weren't prepared? When you play most of the game, at least up to the beginning of the second quarter, into the second quarter, and if the game's tied 3-3 against Pittsburgh, how can you say that they weren't prepared? I think this is a testament to just how much further you need to go. While you made great strides from a year ago to this year when you were the youngest team in the NFL last year to being able to contend and make these games very competitive, while you have good football players, now you need depth. Because when you have injuries, say, on your punt team, and you have to rotate guys, that's when you get punts blocked because guys are out of position, not used to being there because of a few injuries, and now you get guys who are now developmental practice guys, and you've seen that they've brought in more guys since the days of Butch Davis just trying to fill out a roster. So this is really a testament to where you're at. It's not about the coaches doing anything wrong. It's about the coaches trying to press every single button and turn every knob to get the most out of this football team.
Solomon Wilcott's our guest. He is from CBS Sports. He will be on the call, the TV call, for Sunday's game between the Browns and Jaguars at First Energy Stadium. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We are at Discount Drug Mart, 5270 Center Road in Brunswick Hills. Encourage you to come on out and see Buster Screen, see Bernie Kosar. Jabal Sheard will be here in a little bit. As you look at kind of where both teams are, the Jaguars coming into this game after winning two of their last three. Of course, they've had a horrific start to the season, but they're getting a little bit of traction. You know, this notion that teams get into these final 5 weeks and have maybe aren't as focused as they need to be. Solomon, kind of address that in terms of the type of football you see, because I think some people, a lot of people necessarily get that wrong and make assumptions that aren't really there. This is a critical time for both of these teams, even if the playoffs don't beckon.
I totally agree. When the playoffs are not part of the picture, there are other things that come into play, and how you are, where you're at on the arc of improvement as a team really says a lot about what kind of game you expect to get from each team. Think about it. The Cleveland Browns are just coming off two emotional losses. You know the rankings show that in certain areas they're very good, say on defense. You've got a player like Josh Gordon who's emerging as a star, and people are beginning to know who he is. And it shows that this team was right for maybe not trading or dealing him. And then you get a team like Jaguars coming in here, only won two games. But where they're at on the arc of improvement, it's probably in a better situation than that. They've won two of their last three games since their bye week, whereas the Browns have lost two straight games coming off their bye week. The Jacksonville Jaguars will come into Cleveland and they will play hard. This is like the Ken Norton of football right now. They won't win, but they got a sluggish chance of winning a football game because they play hard. And Gus Bradley took this team out to Seattle. They really took Seattle, the Seahawks, to the brink and nearly won that game. So we've seen the Jaguars lose a lot of games, but we've also seen the Jaguars take every single team that they played and really take them to the hilt because they will play hard. That's just where they're at in the arc of development.
And you talk about the arc of development and how important it is to build some momentum at the end of the season and for next year. So, Solomon, as an analyst, what are you looking to see from this Cleveland Browns team? Takes wins and losses, let's say, out of it, because the easy answer is, oh, you want to see the Browns win five games. What do you want to see from this Browns team over the final five games? And what would you say to the fans, this is what you want to look for your team to feel good about what happens over the final five, regardless of the ultimate record?
This team will search high and low to get a quarterback. I mean, let's just say that. We can say it. Now, you're not going to get the coaches and anyone in the front office to tell you, yeah, we're going to get a quarterback. They're not going to say that to you right now, but that's going to be the talk of the offseason, and the Browns will have to get it right because I think they've had, what, 20 different quarterbacks since 1999 start a game for this football team. They've got to get this one right. And now you've got to say, okay, well, what quarterback, which one out there? And I don't want to throw names out, but you better get one that matches what North Turner usually wants. And that's right. Going to be a guy who processes very quickly, who gets the ball out quickly. He's got great accuracy and great arm strength. It necessarily doesn't have to be the guy who's going to run around and do a whole lot. But all those four things that I mentioned just kind of see the label on Troy Aikman and say, well, this is the kind of guy that we want running a North Turner offense to help you win a lot of games to start to compete. And then you've got to be able to manufacture a running game. And that's not just going to get a running back. I think it more starts with retooling and getting depth on the offensive line. I think it's about offense this offseason. You'll add depth to your defense, but this is going to be about putting more explosive playmakers on offense. Every single receiver that you can get that fits what Josh Gordon has already given them, you're going to look to get more of those types of players.
Last one for me, Solomon, is the whole thing about cohesion and how much more difficult it is to maintain when you're in a situation like this. After that game, T.J. Ward, who's really emerged as a leader and is really a fiery guy, and I think his heart and his intentions are always in the right place. But he made some comments relative to just the frustration boiling over, that there were just too many turnovers and you can't win playing that way. And obviously it's clear that that's a frustrated defensive player making a reference to what was happening on the offensive side of the ball. Rob Chudzinski, very quick to kind of get a hold of that situation, talk to TJ, but the whole team about, hey, stick together, importance of sticking together. Again, speaking to this as someone who's played this game, been in this league, and have seen a whole lot of football, and how important is that, especially for a team that is in the midst of building and changing and going forward, that you need to have that through these final 5 weeks and beyond?
How about this? You know, at the end of the day, regardless of your record, as you get into these last five games, this is still an evaluation process for every single player. But look, for every single player who may become a free agent or their contracts may be up, it's also an evaluation for them as to whether or not this is a program that they feel they're a good fit for. I would think most of the guys in that locker room loves what Rob Chudzinski, North Turner, Ray Horton, what they've done with this football team. And that's where the hurt and the frustration really comes from, because they expected more. They were really bought in and buying in to being able to win games like this. The players that talked to us about being able to beat Pittsburgh and Baltimore in the same season, something that hasn't happened since they come back in 1999, to be able to at least beat every single team in the division. They have another game with Pittsburgh. Maybe they can accomplish that. So it's an evaluation on both sides, but more than anything, you're going to find out who the coaches really are. You're going to find out who the players really are in moments of adversity. So it is a point of disclosure for the team right now when you're going through adversity, to get a better sense and feel for who you want in that bunker as the team moves forward in years to come.
Great stuff. Sally, yes. We appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you Sunday at First Energy Stadium. You're going to be there, of course, on the call for CBS. Thank you, my man.
All right, thanks, guys.
Take care. Thanks, Alvin.
All right. And also, we want to tell you, this time of year, you're shopping for a Browns fan this holiday. Well, the best fans in the NFL need their gear. Shop the best selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. You visit the store at First Energy Stadium. It's open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week. Or go to shop.clevelandbrowns.com, and that will be the renovated stadium, First Energy Stadium, the City Council of Cleveland passing all the agreement now between the Browns and the city of Cleveland. Of course, the mayor, Mayor Jackson, had reached an agreement with the Browns, and then the council had the vote last night. So we are pleased to know that that is now resolved, Nathan, and all the construction and everything will begin. You'll start seeing it all start to happen pretty much immediately after the end of this 2013 season.
Yeah, it's exciting. I'm glad that it got passed. I think everybody who wants to check it out, you can do so by going to clevelandbrowns.com and hit firstenergystadiumproject.com, the microsite off of that. It's going to be pretty exciting, and hopefully, you know, there's going to be a lot to be excited about the rest of the season and certainly next season when you have kind of the new look First Energy Stadium for this Cleveland Browns team.
You got that right. And we're excited to be out here, and exciting stuff going on at the Discount Drug Mart, 5270 Center Road in Brunswick Hills. Come out here. This is the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns. We've got Buster Screen, who's been here, and now Jabal Sheard is in the house. He just walked in for the fans. Buster is actually still finishing out his first hour signing autographs, and Jabal is going to settle in and sign some autographs as well. Bernie Kosar is here. So, hey, you got to be here. We got a long line of fans bringing out all their paraphernalia for these guys to sign and also get them hooked up with pictures, taking pictures. They're hooking fans up with those pictures. So all good stuff. Be sure to come out and join us. Lots of fun. We've got lots more show for you. We've got our, of course, After Further Review segment, the one that's sweeping the nation. Bernie Kosar just fired a pass. Looked like, you know, his vintage stuff, 50 years old, and that arm still looks pretty damn good. Yeah, he slung it. And in typical Bernie style, that sidearm throw to a little young fan here. It was a lot of fun. He caught it right before the soup aisle, I think. He put it right on the numbers. All right, come on out and join us. Vic and Nathan, you're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.